Welcome to the Mum Boss Podcast, hosted by me, Renee O'Neill. I'm your host, life and business coach for mums, and a mum of two myself. I'm here to help you be the present mum you're wanting to be, whilst also having a successful business, because you can have both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You have come to the right place if you're a mum who dreams of time and financial freedom and wants to be fulfilled in life alongside motherhood. This podcast is a place where you can come to be inspired and empowered whilst also getting tangible tips, advice, and strategies to help you in your life and business. So let's dive in. I am very excited about this episode because it's something a little different to what I typically do here on the podcast. So I put out on my Instagram stories, if you're not already following me, come and check me out at renee.o'neill. Instagram's honestly one of my favorite places to hang out. But I shared on my stories a post and I said, ask me anything. And from that, I wanted to turn it into a podcast for you where I am answering all of the questions that you shared over on Instagram. So let's dive straight into it. So a question I got was, what is my favorite book? Now, this is a really hard question to answer because I have so many favorite books. I have quite the library of books here in my office. I have a huge catalog of books on my Kindle. I have a heap of audiobooks on my Spotify account. So I love books and I read nonfiction books. Typically, mindset, psychology, business, all of those things are my absolute jam. But I have to say, there is a book that really does stand out to me as a book that I feel like really did shift my perspective. And it was just a book that was really quite life-changing. And that book is The Five Regrets of the Dying. If you have not heard of that book, well, firstly, you must be living under a rock. Because that book is quite a known book, especially in the personal development space, but it is an incredible book. And the lady who wrote that book, Bronnie Ware, was a caregiver, a palliative care nurse, I believe. And she would look after those who were palliative, who were at that stage of being at the end of their time. And she constructed this book based on the biggest five regrets that she would hear people talk about at the end of their lives. And the way in which she writes it, the story she tells within it, it's just an incredible book. And it really makes you look inwards at your own life and get you thinking about, you know, what are the things that I'm wanting in my life? You know, when I am sadly at that stage where I'm at the end of my time, how do I want to look back on my life? Do I want to look back on my life having had regrets, wishing I had done something, wishing I had only had the courage to, you know, take the leap of faith and start the business or whatever it might be? It's just an incredible book. So if you haven't read it, highly, highly recommend that book. Definitely go and check it out. Now, I did also get a lot of questions around why you don't see my kids on socials and a lot of questions around why I refer to my children as Miss 11 and Mr. 7 and also a lot of questions around why you don't get to see the kids' dad, my hubby, much on socials either. And it's interesting that I get this question because this has been the case for a really long time. I don't share my children on my public social media and I don't share their names. All I do share is the fact that they are Miss 11 and Mr. 7. And if you do see photos of them or I share anything in relation to them, it's usually, you know, the back of their head. I don't reveal their identity. And purely based on a choice both my husband and I have made, interestingly, are quite private people, despite the fact that I have a public platform, I have this podcast. You know, when it comes to my personal life, I am quite private. And with the children in particular, it's also out of respect of their privacy too. I think, you know, they are so young and they're not at a stage of fully understanding and comprehending by me sharing them online what impact that's going to have, how they're going to feel about that when they get older. And so we've just chosen that that's what we will do. And, you know, in saying that, that is certainly no judgment to anyone who does share their children. I think it's absolutely a personal choice. And it's a choice that you get to make and you get to decide. And there is no right or wrong either. You know, just because I'm choosing not to share my children on my platforms doesn't mean that you can't, or that I have any kind of judgment or thoughts around that if you did. So that's why we have chosen not to share them. And I think sometimes it's made me question, does that make it a little trickier for me in what I do, being that I'm a life and business coach for mums? I want to be relatable, and I want you, the listener, to know that I have two children. You know, they are aged 11 and 7. And, you know, I'm still very much in the thick of mum life and all the things that that entails. And it can be hard to portray that and show that when I am not revealing the identity of my children. So that piece can be hard at times, but there's definitely a way in which I can still share without sharing, if that makes sense. And then the same goes for my hubby. Like, Lee is quite a private person. And so he doesn't even have his own social media. He's just not one for sharing things that don't need to be shared. And he likes to keep things private and to himself. And I'm very, very respectful of that. And that is why you too don't get to see him much on my socials either, because I respect people's privacies and their wishes and what they want. And so I don't show him either. And what I do love about that is, despite his own feelings and thoughts around social media and what we share online, all the things, he is still very supportive of what I do. And I feel very grateful for that, because I know in some regards it doesn't align with him and his values around what he wants for himself, but he's also supportive in me being able to have these platforms and share in the way that I want to share, whilst also being respectful of his privacy too. So that's sort of where we stand with that, to be really honest. And yeah, I'm okay with it. Now, a question I also got was, what made me go into coaching? This is a really good question, because I've probably spoken about it in the past on my platforms and here on the podcast. But if you are newer to my world, you may not know, because I've not shared it for quite some time. But I got into coaching as a coach almost 4 years ago. Actually, it was, yeah, very close to 4 years ago, because it was April 2020, which, what a time was that? Very interesting time 2020 was. Transformed within that space. And so being the client and having those kinds of transformations, it just made me go, I want to do this too. I want to do this for other people. And underneath the businesses that I've had that have led me to here, there's always been that underlining passion of wanting to help others, wanting to uplift others, wanting to make other people feel better, you know, learn, grow, evolve, all of the things. And so I guess my passion for coaching really began when I myself became a client and had a coach, experienced all that it entails to have that kind of support and guidance. And it kind of just snowballed from there. And before I went into coaching, I was a doTERRA essential oil leader. And within that space, it was very heavily around personal development. So I got the opportunity to go to conferences and hear the most incredible speakers. I got put in group coaching spaces with incredible coaches, and it just really ignited my passion even further. until the point where I was like, I'm all in, I'm going to go get my coaching certification, and away I went. And so I started my coaching certification at the end of 2019. And then I got my qualification in April 2020 and went all in from there. And so been quite the ride. But, you know, it's interesting because another question I also received was, what businesses have I had up until this point? And there have been a few. I actually have done an entire episode around this, but I have done a few businesses in my time. I have done Avon. Avon was one of the first. That was back when I was about 18. I did Avon for a little while there. I have also had my own bath, body, and product line that I sold and had as an e-commerce business as well. I have also owned a bricks and mortar bridal shop where I got the opportunity to be a part of somebody's wedding experience and try on beautiful dresses and find the dress, which was really fun. So there have been a few things over my time, and it's interesting because all of those experiences have meant that I have built up skills and have experience that has actually helped me where I am today in being a life and business coach for mums, because I've been through all of these different businesses in bricks and mortar, e-commerce, you know, online. I've been through business, you know, before having children, whilst pregnant, having babies, toddlers, you know, juggling a part-time job to where I am now. And so within my journey, I then have these experiences and these skills that I've learned along the way that actually really help my clients that I work with today. So I'm so grateful for the journey that's led me here. And it's a job that I always had alongside my businesses as well. I always had that, I guess, security and safety net of still having that job to hold on to. I left that job in July of 2021. And that's when I made the decision to go all in on my business. And it was still a really tricky decision. You know, it wasn't a decision that came lightly. It wasn't a decision that came easily. And it was scary. It was scary. I had to build a lot of courage to jump out of that safety net and that security that I had, or felt, I should say, to go all in on my business. But I think there were a few things that occurred that almost pushed me a little harder to get out of that space. One being the pandemic, you know, that definitely had an impact on me. I know for so many people, when that pandemic hit, it made us reevaluate. It made us question, you know, what we want, made us change our desires and our goals and what we're wanting in life. And so for me, definitely that made me really look at things and go, do I want to be here? Is this the place for me? And from there, from that point of really questioning and really looking at this, I then made that conscious decision that I'm going to put things into place to enable me to go all in on my business. And so it did take a little bit of time from that immediate thought of, I want to take this leap of faith, to actually taking that leap of faith. And I think it's a very personal thing, you know. Some people like to just throw in the towel of their job that they have and go all in on their business. Some people like to, you know, have a solid plan in place of like, I want to make sure I have X amount of income saved in the bank account before I go all in on my business. You know, you have to do what feels right for you. But what I will say is there is a high chance it'll feel scary no matter what. Because if you, like me, had that safety net for such a long time that provided that security, it can feel really daunting and scary to take that leap of faith knowing that you've walked away from that. Having said that, I also think it's important to look at, okay, well, it is a big scary leap to take, but what will happen if it does work out? You know, what are the things that you can create from this being a success for yourself? And I think it's good to really look at the success that you can create for yourself, because you do have more time that you can dedicate to your business if you don't have that job anymore. And, you know, imagine and think of what you can create when you have that space and that capacity and that energy that you can just fully divert and put into your business. And so it's an exciting time when you do take that leap of faith to be like, I can now give my business everything that I wanted to give. And I wonder what I'm going to be able to create and what's going to happen from there. And my hope is, if you are in that position, that you thrive and that you create all that you dreamed of and so much more. Because one thing I can tell you is I have never once looked back and regretted my decision. And I think you have to do what is most in alignment for you. And for me, walking away from that position, whilst it was scary, whilst it was a daunting experience to take that leap, it was the best decision I could have ever made, because I have now created all that I've wanted to and more, having walked away from that. And so it can be a scary decision, but honestly, it can be one of the best decisions you'll ever make. And so this is not me trying to convince you to walk away from your job. You have to really go inward and ask yourself those questions. Is this job that I'm holding on to making me happy? Is it providing what I need it to, what I want it to? And if not, that's your opportunity then to start questioning and making some other decisions, or putting a plan in place so that you can make some change when that timing feels right for you. And only you will actually know that. Now, the next question I got, which I was like, oh, this is an interesting question. Am I naturally organized, or has it been a learned skill? And the reason I say this is an interesting question is because I guess there are people who are naturally organized, and then there are people who have really had to build upon habits and skills to get themselves to a point of being organized. And to be honest, I feel like I'm a mix of the two. Growing up as a child, I know that my mum has said that I was always quite organized, in the sense that I always kept my room really tidy. I always kept, you know, my drawers and my wardrobe spaces neatly organized and tidy. And so I definitely am somewhat naturally organized. I especially like my home, my environment that I'm in, to be neat, tidy, organized, and clean. It makes me feel good, literally. If my space is unorganized, there are things everywhere, my brain just doesn't enjoy that at all. But then also, having said that, I feel like in a sense, it's also been a learned skill, because this is how I cope. This is what helps me function at my optimum, is to be organized and, you know, be really on top of things and plan in a way that feels good for me. So I definitely think it's a mix of the two. And I think if you're someone who associates yourself to be not organized, you can learn those skills to become organized. And so, yeah, that it's just an interesting question, because I really do think it's a mix of both, but I really think it's a strategy to cope and to be able to be as productive as I can be, and to utilize the time that I have to be really organized, not just with my physical space, but also my time. It really does help me be at my best. Another question I got, similar kind of theme, is what are my daily life and business habits? Really love this question. So I guess diving into life habits, I think for me, again, having structure and routines in place does actually make me feel good. I thrive in an organized environment. And so from a daily point of view in my life, it's having that routine in place. So typically speaking, I will get up at the same time each and every day. I have things in place in terms of making my mornings really streamlined, so that my mornings aren't stressful. because there was a time where my mornings would be chaotic and unorganized, and that would cause me stress. So knowing that about myself, having that self-awareness, means that I can then change my strategy and approach so that that's not the case anymore. So for me, my mornings are quite streamlined in terms of, especially on a school day for the kids, I've already got the outfits out the night before for my mornings. I've already packed their school lunches. I've already got their bags out and ready. And I've made things so easy for myself so that my mornings are easier and less stressful. And I don't have to make so many decisions from the very get-go, because those decisions have already been made ahead of time to make my life a little easier. So I do things like that where I will set myself up for success for the future. So past Renee has gone ahead and gotten these things organized and ready so that future Renee can have a more chilled morning. And so that's definitely how I handle that. And then, you know, there's routines for the evening as well. So during the evening, I have routines and habits in place there as well, where once the kids have gone to bed, that's when I'll come out to the kitchen. I will tidy up from the tea that I've cooked. I'll make sure that the kitchen's clean. And that is something I will do religiously so that I can wake up to a clean and tidy kitchen area and not have to, you know, do dishes or do anything. I've done that ahead of time. And then I will do things like my skincare. I will read or do something that helps me unwind from my day. So that might be taking a bath, which very much so come winter months, not so much in summer. It doesn't feel like the vibe for me on a hot evening to jump in a bath, but definitely in winter. I just do anything that I can to really just unwind from the day so that I can make sure it's easier to fall into sleep at night. Because for me, I'm someone who I can take a hot minute to fall asleep, but once I'm asleep and I'm good for the rest of the night. So a way in which I can unwind from the day is something that I'll also do. And again, that looks different day to day. And that's where I'll really let my intuition decide. And I think that's something else, you know, when it comes to my life, but also business too, is really allowing my intuition to guide the way and really anchoring into doing what feels right for me in those moments. And again, that changes day to day, because what I need today might be different from what I needed yesterday. And so my intuition is a huge key component of how I run my life and my business. And interestingly, it's also a big component in my coaching as well. And I think we have this internal guidance system, this internal GPS, if you wish, that we can let take the wheel a little bit. And when you do that, I promise you, it's a game changer. And so that's the same thing for business too. You know, the habits inside my business, again, letting my intuition guide the way. In terms of my time, both life and business, is, you know, having routines, having structure in place, having habits in place that support me and are really in alignment to my values, but also helping me in where I'm wanting to go as well, and the things that I'm wanting to achieve, and the Renee of the future who I'm wanting to be as well, and the things that she has achieved and accomplished too. And so, you know, from a business standpoint, habits in the business are things like showing up on social media, which is actually a real love of mine. I actually love it. Doing engagement, responding to comments, responding to DMs. It looks like responding to emails, and it looks like communicating with my clients, supporting my clients, being there to help guide them and coach them. It looks like having a scheduled plan so that when it gets to my business time, I'm not sitting here going, okay, well, what am I going to do today? I've made a plan ahead of time so that all that indecision doesn't occur and I can be really productive. And because I'm being productive, I'm really intentional with my time and I'm using it to the best of my ability. And so it looks like following the plan that I create each and every week. When I sit down to do my weekly reset, I look at my schedule for the week ahead, and I really plan my time in a way that feels good. And it also means that I am getting shit done. So I think that's also important too, to be like, it's like a balance between letting my intuition guide me, but then also still having a plan and direction so that I can stay on course and I can be productive and I can be intentional with the time I have. And I think that's been really important as I've navigated all these years of juggling, you know, young children, back then the job and the business, is just being super intentional with my time. And that is a game changer too, because when you're intentional with your time, you'll be surprised what you can achieve. It's a bit like when you find out, you get a text message from someone that they're like, oh, I'm going to pop into your place in 15 minutes. You can get around your house and do housework and clean it up and get it tidy and organized in 15 minutes, ready for somebody to show up at your door. It's the same principle in your business and in your life. When you're intentional with your time, you can get crazy things done and achieve crazy things. So that is definitely how I do things. I also got the question about, what does your weekly schedule typically look like? Again, it does change a little bit day to day, but there is some kind of consistency there where I do time block my calendar so that I have a clear direction of, you know, what I'm doing within certain time frames. However, within that space is left open to my intuition, because I might not, you know, if I've scheduled between 1 o'clock and 2:30 when I go and pick up the kids from school, if I schedule that to be content creation and then I sit down at my computer and I'm like, I don't feel it's not flowing out of me. The content is not coming. I'm feeling blocked. Then I'm not going to continue sitting there pushing myself into doing it, because that's what I'd already planned ahead. So I leave room for being able to change things when and where I need to. And so my schedule really does change depending on the day. But what I will say is, I do typically have a bit of a plan around themes for my day as well. So that looks like Mondays are my admin and CEO day. That day is dedicated to catching up on emails, you know, doing the admin, the behind the scenes things, and also working on my business, which there is a difference between working in your business, serving your clients, you know, doing the day-to-day business things, as opposed to working on your business where you're looking at the big picture, you're looking at projects, you're looking at new offers you want to create. So that is a day that I'll typically dedicate to things like that. Tuesdays typically are for personal development. So if there are any courses or certifications that I'm doing, if I'm wanting to, you know, read a book, whatever it might look like in the personal development realm, that is where I'll do it then. Wednesdays and Thursdays are typically focused around content creation and client work. And then Fridays are Renee Day. Friday is a day I have dedicated for whatever it is that I feel like. And I know what a luxury it is to have a day dedicated like that. And I will lean into, again, whatever I feel like on that day. Renee Day is for things like visiting my nan. It's for dedicating that day to catching up with friends, going out for coffee. Although, you know, I don't drink coffee, but I still say coffee, because when you go out for coffee, it's insinuating you're going to a cafe and having a beverage, which my beverage of choice is an oat chai latte. It could be just for me to have a chill day at home to myself. It might be that I actually want to do some business stuff. So it really depends on the day, but I just leave that space open for me and me only. And I block the calendar out for that day so that, you know, clients can't book in, there is no podcast recordings booked, nothing can be booked in that space, but it's just there for me. And I am very grateful to have that space, because it has not been the case of being able to have that luxury of 9 till 2:30 on a Friday to have that space to be whatever I want it to be. But I am able to do that. And I think it's important to create space and time for yourself with the capacity that you have available to you. So for me, having Monday to Friday of child-free time in the school hours, I of course could dedicate every minute of that time to my business and working in my business, but that's not always the best use of my time. And so allowing myself to have time and space on a Friday, that's for me, definitely is working well for me. You might be already aware of this, but I run my business when the kids are at school. So that looks like between 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Monday to Friday is somewhat dedicated to my business. Outside of that time frame, it's not business time for me. Now, obviously, being at the stage of having two children in full-time school, this looks so different to how I once scheduled my time with my business. There was often times I'd be working in the evening. I would be getting up early to do things in my business. I have the luxury of the kids being at school full-time so that I can now dedicate that time to my business instead. So outside of that time, I am absolutely in mum mode. I'm with my children. I'm with my husband. I am, you know, in mum mode. Now, the next question I got was, what do you do when you're feeling stuck in your business? Now, my answer may surprise you here, but when I'm feeling stuck in my business, I like to hit pause. I actually like to hit pause on my business and take some time and space away from my business to really be able to gain the clarity I need around why I'm feeling stuck in my business. Sometimes we can feel stuck in our business because we have lost our zest. We've lost our passion, our drive. And so it's an opportunity to take some time and space away from the business to find out, what is it that is making me feel this way? Is it that I no longer am passionate about the business that I've created? Is it that I'm feeling really burnt out and overwhelmed and stressed? Is it that I have things going on in my personal life that are affecting how I'm feeling and how I'm showing up, which is then having an effect on my business? So having some time and space away from your business can actually help you gain that clarity. And then I would be questioning yourself, asking you yourself why you're feeling that way. What is it about your business that's making you feel stuck? What are the areas around your business that you're not enjoying and not loving like you used to? And then diving deep into that. And, you know, sometimes it takes some time and space to delve into that. And then getting just really honest with yourself as well about what it is that's holding you back. And, you know, sometimes you can do this alone and you can, you know, do some journaling and really dive deep. Sometimes you need some support. Sometimes you need some support when you're feeling that way. I know for me, in times, especially in business where I felt stuck, I have needed some extra support. And so that's looked like reaching out and investing in a coach to help me, because sometimes we can't see our own blocks and things that are holding us back. And sometimes we need that outside perspective, that coach, to be able to not just help support us and to lean on in times where we're finding challenging, but also to shine a light on those areas that we might not be able to see for ourselves as well. And so having somebody that you can lean on really does make a very, very big difference. And so my advice would be to, one, take a breath, take a minute, hit pause, and start really exploring why you're feeling that way. Has an event occurred or a situation occurred that has made you feel this way? What are the areas of your business that you're not loving and enjoying like you used to? Where are the areas that you're feeling need some assistance and need some change perhaps? Maybe you need to pivot. But then, of course, also seeking that support that you need to be able to, you know, not feel so stuck in your business, because business is a ride, you know, it's a roller coaster. There are highs and there are lows. And when we're experiencing them low moments, we really need to be able to anchor into some support to help us get back out of that stage and start riding the roller coaster back up again. And having a coach by your side, honestly, will make a really, really big difference. I also got a question around what to do in a situation where your ideas are not flowing and you're feeling blocks around content. Now, I think this is very similar to feeling stuck in your business, is taking some space. You know, I do not recommend sitting at your computer trying to force yourself to be creative. If you are feeling a block, especially around content creation, my advice is move away from the computer. Step away, go for a walk, go and do something else that does recharge your creative juices, that help you get those creative juices flowing. Because I know for me, my content ideas and the things that I want to share come from moments when I'm out for a walk, when I'm having a shower, when I'm away from my desk. I don't always get my best ideas sitting at my desk. So what I do is when I have those creative ideas, project ideas, a message I want to share, I will write it down, whether it be in my phone or on a piece of paper. And then when I am at my desk, I will then put that content together. So I don't recommend to sit there and push through trying to force yourself to come up with ideas and content. My advice is go and live your life. And when those ideas land, when those content ideas and messages land, write them down. And then when you have that time and space to come to your computer, that's when you can put it all together in a neat little bow. So that would be my suggestion around helping you get your ideas flowing and your creative juices flowing, is having some time and space away from your computer. Because sometimes we force ourselves to just sit at a computer when that's not what's always best. Sometimes we need to step away, go and enjoy doing something for ourselves, and it'll actually be the best thing for you. Then I've been asked, do I ever feel mum guilt? Of course I do. Of course I do. There have definitely been times where mum guilt has really been a prominent thing in my life. And then there are times like now where, I'll be honest, I don't really experience mum guilt, if at all, rarely anymore. And I think it looks different now to what my life once did. You know, I have such a huge amount of time dedicated to business and equally to my family that I don't feel the mum guilt I once did, because I know what it's like to be with your family and your kids and your mind is constantly thinking about your business. And then likewise, being in your business and then feeling guilty for the time that you might feel like is taking away from your family. And I think a way that I've definitely combated that is the fact that I am very present. So when I'm in my business, I'm in my business. When I'm with my family, I'm with my family. Phones down, time and attention and focus is purely on them. And so that is a huge way I've been able to step out of that mum guilt trap that we can so easily get caught in. And we often feel mum guilt because we are feeling like we're not being present with our families when we want to be. And we often have this perception that our business is somehow taking away from our families. And so being able to shift mindset around that makes a really, really big difference. And then the last question that I got was, how do I manage the mum life and business juggle? And I guess in a sense, I've already addressed it in terms of how I schedule my time, how I have my life and business habits in place and routines. But I think above everything, it is being very clear on what my values are, both personally and within my business. Those things that are most important to me, and I make them a priority, which means that I am dedicating my time, my energy, my resources to those things. And then I am very intentional with my time. And so I am really clear on, here is my business time, here is my mum life time, and I'm really present within those spaces. And I think that really does help with the juggle of it. Plus, it's also having clear boundaries in place. And having boundaries in place really does protect our time, but also our energy as well. And so I think it really is a combination of so many different things that help me manage mum life and business. But clear boundaries, being aligned with my values, being intentional with my time, I think are the biggest key components and factors that help with that juggle. And it is a juggle because as a mum running a business, we have a lot of different responsibilities. We're wearing a lot of different hats and we are juggling a lot. And so finding ways and strategies that help you with that juggle really do make a big difference. And that's, you know, that's my whole life's work right there in being a life and business coach for mums. I help my clients create that success in that business that they are fulfilled by and passionate in around their lifestyle as a mum, so they don't have to sacrifice the family time. And, you know, this is a whole nother podcast episode in itself. So that is all I will share for today. I actually really love doing this Q&A style podcast, so I hope you've enjoyed it as well. And I can't wait to chat to you in my next episode. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. To learn more, you can go to ReneeO'Neill.com. I'm so grateful for you being here and super glad you've taken the time out for yourself to tune into today's episode. If you loved the episode, don't forget to hit subscribe so you can catch the next one when it's released. Also, if you share this podcast to your Instagram stories and tag me at ReneeO'Neill, I will be sure to send you a little gift straight to your DMs as a thank you.